year that has to do with the subject, I call your attention back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, where Paul declares that his intent was to preach Christ and Him crucified. It is not a real pleasant thought, if we really think about it, to think about a cross, to think about the very nature of men and how depraved they were, that they would seek to nail a person to a cross, especially the innocent, perfect Son of God. But if we think about it, that may be part of the reason that back in verse 21 of that chapter, Paul said that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I believe it is important that we remind people today, and many so-called preachers would do well to be reminded today, that the message of the cross is not a message of wealth. It is not a message of rapture. It is not a message of better felt than told. It is not even a message of America is great. But it is a message of salvation. It is a message of forgiveness of sins and hope of eternal life. In the second chapter of the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's sermon is recorded for us. And in this sermon, Peter makes the following declaration. He declares that this same Jesus, whom thou hast crucified, God has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. That message was so powerful that it touched the hearts of over 3,000 people that day. And they came in mourning, realizing that sin had robbed them of everything in life that they wanted. And they came crying, "What shall we do?" Two chapters later, in Acts chapter 14 and verse 12, we read, "For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." How sad it is that we live in a world today where some who believe that salvation is in other gods, in gods that men have created with their own hands and through their own vain imagination. But Peter reminds us that there is salvation in none other than Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thought that the Messiah, the one who was promised from before the foundations of the world, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul reminds us that God was in the world before He ever made heaven and earth. And He was planning even then to send Jesus into a low ground of sin and sorrow and to see Jesus die on an old rugged cross so that you and I could have hope of eternal life. Have you thought seriously about the words that Peter proclaimed there on the day of Pentecost? For this promise, the promise that if we turn to Jesus, we can be saved. But this promise is unto you, to your children, to them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. When we think about it, we have the opportunity in 2025 to do the same thing that was done in AD 33, to preach Christ, the hope of the world, the sacrifice made for sinful man, and the only source of peace, hope, and life. What a powerful thought when you really think about it in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul makes this statement when he said, "The life that I now live, I live by the faith that I have in the Son of God." Paul, why is your faith so strong in Jesus? Why do you love Him so desperately? Because He saved me. For He has given His life for me, that I might be saved. Jesus would go on to say, "No man takes my life from me." Jesus didn't die on the cross because Satan was more powerful. Jesus didn't die on the cross because the Sanhedrin was more powerful. Jesus didn't die on the cross because Rome was more powerful. Jesus died on the cross because He loved you and He loved me. And He wanted us to know the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. When you open the book of John, the Gospel according to John, in John chapter 1, the Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. You see, when you understand that verse, Jesus made you. He created you. The Hebrew writer tells us that without Him was not anything made that was made. So when you understand that He loved you and He gave Himself for you, He died for His own creation. He died for those that He had made and granted life in the first place. Think about in Genesis chapter 3. How sad were the events that took place in the Garden of Eden. Eve was tempted and succumbed to the temptations of the Satan. She gave that to eat to Adam and he sinned. And they failed from their paradise, from their innocence, from their walk with God. So that when He went that evening to walk with them in the cool of the evening, they were not there. They had hid themselves. And He called to them and said, "Where are you?" And they said, "We're naked." And He said, "Who told you? What have you done? What have you done?" What a question when we think about what man had done was bring the curse of death upon the human race. Paul would write to the Romans, "As in one man, sin entered into the world, and by that man Adam came death." We all die because of Adam. But in Genesis chapter 3, God gives this great announcement. Though Satan had tempted Eve and Adam, and they had fallen from grace, there comes this declaration. "I will put enmity between thee," between the woman and you, and between her seed and your seed. "Thou shalt bruise his heel, but he will bruise thy heel." For thousands of years, man marched toward the time when that great message would become a reality. When Jesus would come into this world, the seed of woman, born of a virgin, who would come with healings in his wings. The one that God had promised to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed." There is no greater message that can be preached. It's not the message of some big social network. It's not the message of wealth. It's not the message of fame and fortune. But it is the message of one who came into this world, born in a virgin, in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and from that humble beginning came the one who would bring healing. He would become the Prince of Peace, the one with healing in his wings. from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 18, we see that beautiful story of when three men approached Abraham and Sarah. And God reveals to them that Sarah would have a child. And that through that child, he would carry out his promise that in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Time and time again throughout Scripture, God has reminded man that a Savior is coming. The Messiah is the whole message of God, that I love man so much that I will not leave him in his lost condition. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we read of the birth of Jesus. And here are the words that are said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And he will save his people from their sins. Have you ever thought, do you think today, just how great a message that is? We were talking about this in class this morning. Before we become a Christian, you're a sinner. Sin mars, destroys, kills, makes ugly, takes joy and happiness out of our lives and the lives of people around us. But the Bible says there is a voice. It was a voice that came through John the Baptist as one crying in the wilderness, repent. Get ready. The Lord is coming to his temple. Be ready. This one with healing in his wings is coming. And then one day, Peter said, this one that ye have seen, this is him. This is the Messiah. The one who died at Calvary. The one who was resurrected from the grave or from the tomb and became the Savior of the world. So why would we not want to make known such a beautiful story? A few weeks ago, many people spent a lot of time, a lot of talking, a lot of money on the concept of a baby. Jesus coming into the world. And aren't you glad he was born? But listen to what he said in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being found in the form of God, considered that not a thing to be taken lightly, but he emptied himself. He poured out his divinity, if you will, and he took upon himself the form of a servant, and he died on that old rugged cross. Now I ask you, have you heard that call? Recorded in Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 28 are these words. Go into all the world. Tell men about this Savior, this Messiah, who loved you, who gave himself for you. I ask you today, what did it cost Jesus? He never knew fame and fortune. He never knew riches. He never owned any land. He never owned his own house. By the world's standard, he was not a rich man. But by the standard of God and by the standard of time, he is the richest man of all. For through the ages, thousands upon thousands have called upon the name of the Lord. Save me. Forgive me. Heal me. Take me. Make me like you. So we ask, what made Jesus such a great Savior? Paul says to the Romans, it is possible that a man might think so much of another man that he would give his life for him. For a righteous man, for a really good, great man. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet in sin, Christ died for us. So I ask you, I've had to think about this a lot in my own life. Can you love the unlovable? Can you love the vile, the cruel, the mean, the vicious people of this world? As Jesus drew his last breath on earth, he had just said, "Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do." Those people on Pentecost said, "Lord, we didn't know what we were doing. We understand we crucified the Son of God. What can we do?" I believe today that too many people are so self-absorbed that they cannot see the value of self-denial, of loving their fellow man, of loving the vile, the unlovable, the cruel, the vicious people in this world. But the call is the same today as it has always been. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to all creatures. Bring all men to Christ. I ask you, and I think about this quite often in my own life, through all the years that I have professed to preach the gospel, I have to ask myself over and over again, Lord, have I ever for 1 minute allowed myself to believe that I would be okay if one person were lost and that didn't bother me? Does it make any difference today whether one is a liar, a thief, a murderer, a child molester? One has had problems with drugs or alcohol, whatever the sins and whatever the consequences. Do you today believe with all your heart that God wants everybody, whatever they're stained with, whatever they're polluted by? He sent Jesus to spread his wings, to grant his grace, that those people might cry, "I too have been to Calvary." Paul made a statement that every preacher ought to take seriously, but every Christian ought to really think about it. Paul said, "I could wish myself to be a castaway and an anathema." What Paul really said was, "I would go to hell if it would save you." You want to know why we're not saving people today? Christians are content to make excuses, to compromise, to allow the world to go on and on and on in sin. And our hearts do not bleed. Our hearts are not broken. Not only does the song say, "Too late will be for us to cry when mercy's day has passed us by," but don't we understand, "Too late will be for me to cry when anyone I have crossed paths with shall be turned away from the portals of glory, because I was not convinced and convicted that it was my mission, my purpose, my absolute goal of life
to make known to men the unsearchable riches of the one we call the Christ. May we fall in love with each other, with lost souls, in a way we never have, and see God's kingdom grow in a way it hasn't in a long time. For we preach Christ and Him crucified, the hope of all men. Let's stand together.
Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come,